Hello, and welcome to another episode of Scavenger Life. This is episode number 344 at scavengerlife.com.
We just, half an hour ago, sold our couch on Craigslist for $200.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
We bought it on Craigslist.
Yep. And so, we love this kind of math as scavengers. So we bought the couch for $500.
Yeah.
It was a $2,000 couch.
And
and it
that
was
was in 2011?
right, and we used it for 7 years.
7 years.
Yep, and we just sold it for 200. So we basically rented a nice couch
Yeah.
for $300.
Now, I was going to put it up for hire, but then I was like, you know what? We
Well,
used it for so long.
plus it was one of those things like, how long did we want to keep it? So
Right. How long do you want to hold on to it?
yeah, I was kind of like, let's
Why
get
did
rid
we
of it.
sell it? We were just
No, I
wanting a
mean,
new.
no, I mean the reason's very clear to me.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if we don't agree on this, but the goal for this wintertime is to clean our house,
Yes.
declutter our house.
Yes.
We are decluttering our house, and that means, we've had a house where our eBay business and our personal world were
Yeah.
intimately tied together.
Yeah.
So if you walked into our house, there were piles of stuff everywhere.
Right.
Every corner had piles of stuff. There are boxes in the middle of the floor. I mean, currently there's artwork just a line on
Just
the
in our
carpet.
living
Yeah.
room. Yeah.
And we've all learned, us and our cats have learned just to
You should walk around it.
it's navigate around it.
Yeah.
So, for me, what I want to do, especially now that we've invested in a storage place, is to
Yeah.
get all of our eBay stuff over there. So our
Right.
house will be our house, and then the storage in our eBay office will be eBay.
Yeah.
You know?
So part of that was this couch took up, it's 11 feet long. So it was taking up most of our living room, which is fine because that's what we sit on. But it was nice to pull it out, vacuum the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't answer specifically about the
Yeah.
couch. I mean, the couch, the problem was is that it was impossible to clean
Yeah.
behind it
Yeah.
and under it.
Right.
So like when we pulled this couch apart, it was just like dust bunnies, and
And just cat hair and
it was kind of gross,
I
you
mean,
know.
we like seriously vacuum like
Yeah.
I got up early this morning, like,
Right.
we gotta clean this before this lady.
Yeah.
The funny thing was we cleaned it and wiped it down and vacuumed it and took it all apart and we were like, this thing looks great
Yeah.
now. But, it was nice to make some room.
Right, so part of the cluttering is not just getting our eBay stuff out, but just all of our stuff. Like, we can't have stuff just like lying on the floor,
Yeah.
And that's also like a big couch, So
Right.
that's why I, like right now I'm just in a chair.
You're in a
Simple.
beautiful leather recliner that
It's
we also got off Craigslist.
great,
I currently do not have a chair.
It's Ryan's on a
I'm on
stool
a
right now.
stool that's like,
But you have the opportunity
yeah.
to find the chair
Yeah.
that
That I want.
you want.
No, I do. I like that setup. So it's
Yeah.
just, you're kind of moving things
And
around.
that's, I think, how anyone who's hearing this that has a business on eBay probably can understand that. I mean, I think we all do this. I use the space available. It's probably
Right.
an extra a bedroom or down in the a basement. And then as your business
Yeah.
grows, why would you stop buying stuff to put on eBay just because of space,
Right.
Or at least
Yeah, no,
that
that's
had been
definitely how
our
you
thing,
think of
right?
it.
I mean, and then, I don't know if a lot of people make that a next step. The next step is in investing in, like a building.
Right.
I've heard some people they buy a bigger house. I've
I've
heard,
heard of that, yes.
who's that girl, like Green Frog Shoes, or what's her name?
Miriam.
Yeah, she said she actually bought another house,
Oh yeah,
like
to
in
make
her
into her,
neighborhood,
yeah.
that's just for her eBay, and she hires people and they go over there and work,
Yeah,
and
like that's her that house is an office,
and that's awesome,
basically. It's incredible.
Yeah,
It makes
so
sense,
So this week, I just had we had that auction craving,
Yes.
You know, I've mentioned it the past couple of podcasts, and the problem is, like, auctions that are right in our area are not good.
They're not great.
They're super junky.
Yeah. You know?
So we have to drive at least an hour to get to a good auction. Because, you know, we got to go to the auction near bigger, like, urban areas, you know?
Yeah.
So we went to one on Friday.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was closer than, you know, most that we go to, which was nice. It wasn't a super long drive.
It was
drive.
Still kind of country, but it was closer to, like, you know, a place that has, like, a university. And it was kind of nice.
Oh, no, I was excited, because I did want to go to an auction as well. I just, and that drive is...
That was interesting for me to hear that, because normally I feel like you're not as into auctions.
I'd rather go to an auction that's closer to us than one that's farther away.
Right.
But, you know, there's always that feeling of, like, was it worth it? You know? Yeah. I mean, we could talk about that a little bit, but...
But, you know, if you've never been to an auction, I feel they can be addictive. If you're that kind of person,
you just have to make sure you process the items. I mean, it's so easy to buy stuff, you know? Like, I was actually better this time at not being intimidated, because I was just like, you know, it's just it's an auction we've actually been to before. So, and it just, I feel like there are dealers, but they're like less aggressive dealers, you know?
I just feel like,
I don't know.
To me, it's just about, knowing the thing that you want to buy. And then just, almost just like blocking everybody out. Like, put a number in your head, like, I'll pay $40 for that thing. And then just focus on the guy and just raise your hand until that number gets hit.
There are a couple of things where I did do that, where I was like, no, I'm getting this. I want it. You know?
So I've been doing the, what Steve Schultz had talked about, being very aggressive when I bid. Where instead of kind of like hanging back and just kind of keeping an eye on like what people are trying to put the price at, I'll just jump in there and I'll be the first person.
Because you're like,
And then I just bid quickly.
Right.
You know, bum, bum, bum. And that normally scares people away because it's going too fast.
Yeah.
So it's good.
No, it was good. I mean, I had fun. It is a long day, though, you know? It's like, you just really have to make sure. And this place was great because it has a snack bar. And you're like, I need a big caffeinated beverage.
Yeah, I think anyone that's been to an auction knows that they can often be day-long events. Like, this one here starts at 10, and it actually goes to, like, 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
And it's so funny because we were, like, there's this one, in quotes, gallery that they do, which is, like, all furniture. And on the website, they're like, we don't start this till 6. And I'm like, that's crazy. But it's because they haven't finished the other rooms until 6.
It's probably 2 football fields worth of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, that's why.
And it's, you know, it's a multiple houses stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's many.
I think the other thing is, and we were talking this on the its forum about it, is if you have to ask, should I buy this, you always need to buy it, you know?
Well, you mean... Like, if you're questioning it and it's...
I think that's very common where if you stand there and there's so much stuff,
and you're like,
things are going quickly, and you're like, is that worth it? I mean, if there's any inkling in me that thinks it's cool, I buy it.
Right.
Because the thing is, the worst that happens is I just pay to educate myself about that item.
Right.
And we talked about this. I don't think we've ever actually bought something and
lost money. Yeah.
I mean,
so
always
we never.
Even, at the worst.
I mean, there's never been a time where we lost money. I mean, at worst, and I can't even think of that many things where you're like, okay, well, we just broke even. We made back what we, you know, we made back all our fees. And
I mean, there have been times where we bought things, like a big box of stuff, and then just not been excited about it.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of not enjoyed putting it up on eBay.
Yeah.
You know? But we always,
Yeah, there's not. I mean, so like I was saying, there's that feeling after an auction, like you just spent... We spent $500. We filled up our truck. Like, you couldn't put anything else in that truck. And you're kind of like, was that worth it? You know, you're just like, you know.
Well, that's a feeling going home because we spent, yeah. what, $550
or something.
And then, you know, but then we get the boxes and then you start taking it out.
Yeah, and you're like, this is cool stuff.
This one thing will make $100.
You know? Right, right.
And then this, you know, and then this other stuff that I hadn't even been focused on.
Like, right. Amazing, you know? It's like in the box and you didn't even know it. So the highest priced things. So these are the two things that I bid on, you know, I bid on one of them and just kept my hand up where I was like, oh, people keep jumping in, but I'm just not letting this go. Was quite a large box of ephemera and letters and old, like, you know, cards and postcards. And it was from our town. So that was kind of funny. It was like, oh, look, that's like someone who grew up and lived here and got married.
So why is that
here.
Exciting to you?
I just like ephemera. I like old letters.
Yep.
I like old postcards. I like old greeting cards.
Photos.
Yeah, old photos. There was like also, it was so random. There was like a box of like gold filled spectacles in there. I'm like, well, I sell that stuff all day long too. And that was in that box. And I paid for that box. I paid $65, which, you know, is high, you know, compared to a $5 box lot.
I saw it. You kind of, it's going, because it was a fairly big box
of
stuff.
Yeah, quite large.
I mean, how do you think you're going to sell that stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I'll probably, like, just, I don't know. I'll just see what's what. Like, there was actually, like, several envelopes of, like, canceled checks from the 60s for, like, a moose lodge or something like that. And I'm like, somebody around here is totally going to want that. So, you know, I want to be able to.
And why do people buy stuff like that? I mean, do you know?
I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, I know why people buy postcards because, right. like, you and I buy postcards of our area to show, like, it's like historical photos
like
of
old town. I mean, old buildings that aren't there anymore.
Yeah, stuff like that. But, like, I don't know. The thing about, I don't know, canceled checks. They're written to people around here who are related to those people. Right. You know what I mean?
That's
like, there's like, you know, it's written out to this person who was part of like the Moose Lodge
like,
or
didn't
whatever
you,
it's called.
Didn't someone say on the form they sold like a piece of paper from like an AT&T store? It was like,
oh, it was a receipt.
Receipt.
Well, the great thing about that receipt was, you know, it had like all these pictures. I looked it up because I was like, I gotta see this. I love that. You know, back in the day when you bought a phone, it was like a big deal. It wasn't just like, it's at Walmart. It's like
a flip phone or
no,
like a.
No, it wasn't a cell phone. It was a rotary dial phone. So the date on the receipt was 1986.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. So why did someone buy a receipt for a phone? I didn't understand that.
Right. So
because it sold for how much? Like $120 or something?
No. It sold for like $13.
Oh, okay.
Back then when you bought a phone, you know, it wasn't just like, you know, buying a phone at Walmart. It was like a big deal, especially if you're buying it from, you know, AT&T.
It was just a,
it's a rotary phone.
Landline.
But like, yeah. But like on the receipt, it like showed all the different phones and all the different colors and like configurations. And It was like beige rotary phone. Like
right.
It probably costs like a bunch of money because
right.
you were, I don't know if you were buying it from the phone company or renting it from them.
Well,
that might have been why.
I mean, some of it was happening before
I don't know.
I was small. I know for a while there, like phone companies, like you couldn't buy a phone from a private company. You had to buy it from the phone company. And I don't think you actually bought it.
I think you rented it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because it was like such a crazy technology, I guess.
Yeah, it was too expensive for someone to buy. They're like, this is too expensive for the regular person.
Okay.
So what was the lot that you bought?
So the lot I bought was, it was in the junkier. I mean, so there was junkie.
And there was even junkier.
Super junkie room. You know, a huge room. Everything's piled on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely, there is a logic to it. And the way they do it would be is that they would stand in front of, like, a bunch of piles of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they would have you bid on choice.
Yes.
Which means that whoever gets the highest bid gets to pick what they want. So if
right.
the bid's, like, $20, then you get to pick the boxes, and each one at $20. And
right.
then from there, they do it again.
And it usually is lower.
And then it's like, you know, $12. And then the guy goes and picks his $12 boxes. And then it
right.
gets to, like, where it's, like, $2 a box. And then it's just, like, $2 for whatever is there.
So, but the problem with that is if you're like, oh, but I only want to pay $2 for the thing I want. It's like, well, you got to be careful. Someone's going to grab it for $10.
So it's like a gamble. Like,
yeah, it's a gamble.
You know, is $25 too high? Do I wait? Like, maybe the person that bids $25 doesn't get the box I want.
Yeah. They want some other weird thing.
But like I said, I was being aggressive and I'd always be like, I want it. You know, $25? Like, that's cheap for us, you know, for a box of stuff. Like, I know there's one thing I can sell for $25, and
yeah, it depends on what you saw in the box.
So my favorite thing was I bought a box of Insane Clown Posse hats. ICP!
Look,
Juggalo!
Don't stop. Whoop, whoop. This is, you're hurting me. My ears are bleeding. You
know, look, this is a country auction. Most people are older.
They don't know what this is.
I'm 44, so I was like one of the youngest people there.
Yeah.
There were only two other guys there who knew what it was.
Yeah.
One guy is the kid who worked there, and he was the one kind of holding stuff up. And he was like, whoa, look at this.
Yeah.
And all the old like country guys are like,
like, why are you bidding on this box?
Who cares about that? And then there's one other guy who I was bidding against, and he was probably a little younger than I was.
Yeah.
He knew what it was. So there were, I counted them, there were 40 hats, brand new.
They're not brand new.
Almost brand new.
Because I had to wash most of them.
No. We washed like 25% of them. The other ones
looked, okay, well, that's
anyway,
good.
They were in great shape.
Okay, they're in good shape.
I bought them for $85.
Yeah, so people thought that was insane.
Right.
Insane Clown Posse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, people were like, what kind of hats are those?
So the deal is, for anybody who doesn't know about Insane Clown Posse, they have a rabid fan base.
Right.
I'm talking a rabid fan base.
Right, I mean, they're like, if you don't know anything about this, they're the ones where, like, the fans, like, paint their faces like clowns.
But they're, like, rappers from Detroit.
Kind of like scary clowns.
Yeah, so it's kind of like punk.
So, you know, I was thinking conservatively, even if I sell each one for $30, I mean, that's over $1,000.
Right.
So I was like, $85,
no problem.
And that's where I was aggressive, where I was the first to start
you
the bid.
You just, like, your arm is up.
And I just kept my hand
you're
up
like,
until
no.
the guy just, like...
Yeah, because you know what you can do with it.
And so, you know, but that does stink, though, where I'm like, if that one guy hadn't have been there, I would have got the whole box for $5.
That's happened a bunch of times at auctions, where you're like, one person wanted
there this. Was a lady at this auction who I think was doing that because she saw I was being very aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And she was a Mennonite, like one of those ladies that wears like the handmade clothes and
the
little
bonnet
and the white tennis shoes.
They're not Amish.
No, they're...
Because Amish people Mennonite. Wouldn't be there. They're Mennonite.
Because it's wore by a big, you know...
There's a huge Mennonite.
And there was a lot area. Where I'm like, why does she want this? And I really have a sense. And I feel like I caught her looking at me and kind of smiling that she was just bidding me up. And you know what I said to her? Fair play. Fair play, lady.
You were like, you don't want this box. You just want me to pay more.
Yeah. I was like, aren't you supposed to be about, like, peace and all this stuff? You lady. But you know what? She got me. Anyway, so it was fun. And the great thing was, it was like a dream, Ryan.
What?
It was like we were living in a dream.
And why?
We come home. We, like, cruise down.
Yes.
I put the truck in a neutral, and we just kind of roll down this hill, and we roll right into...
neutral. The hell?
Right into our storage building. I back right up.
None of that stuff is in our house right now.
Open the door, and we just unloaded it onto this big, you know, just this huge, plenty of space.
Yeah.
We just grabbed the one or two boxes that we wanted to bring to our home to, like, get excited about checking out.
Yeah.
And it was great. Instead of back in the old days, we would unload a truckload of stuff into our house. And we have a very small house. And it would take up the major part of our, like a walking area.
Living room walking
area. And then for the next 3 weeks, we would just be kind of jumping over all this stuff as we tried to put it up on eBay.
And now we just go out, grab a box, put it in whoever's pile is going to do it.
It's exciting.
And then put it back.
Yep.
Soon.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Okay, let's talk about a couple things on eBay, because this is what kind of we're all about. The post office has raised their rates.
Do they do it every year?
Officially.
Is it every other year?
I don't know. I mean, I think they have the opportunity to do it every a year, and they seem to do that, you know.
I think it's every year. Yeah. Yeah, so this is an example of why calculated shipping is great, because if you say, this item is 10 ounces, it's like, you know, you're not like, it's $3.50. Well, when they raise the price, you want it to automatically calculate the new price. That's why we love calculated shipping. Right. You're like, this weighs this much,
right. So it doesn't
matter how the, you know, USPS is right. charging for
and,
it.
And so people that try and get, who try and get cool and they try and just do flat rate, they're like, it'll just fit into a flat rate. That can...
No, flat rate is also like... Okay, so what you're saying is if someone's like, a flat rate costs X amount, let's just say $2, which no flat rates cost $2. Flat rate costs $2, so just charge everyone, it's $2 for this item forever. Well, once the post office changes their prices, you got to go in and change those. Right. So what you want to do is use the calculated shipping. Yeah. You know, that's what works.
And someone
for us.
Was coming on its forum, he seemed confused. You know, he was new about how to ship and how to tell people how expensive it would be. So if you have to put in how it's much it weighs,
right.
But it doesn't really matter how big it is, as long as it doesn't get too big.
As
right?
long as it's not bigger than 12 inches.
So
if it gets bigger than that, you do have to kind of right. estimate a size, because if it's oversized...
Right. 12 by 12 by 12 or what?
That's the minimum, okay. like...
Right. So as long as it goes into a box no bigger than 12 by 12 by 12.
Yeah. If it's bigger than that, then you do kind of have yeah. to estimate, or else you're going to underpay for shipping.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And that's, we've heard that, and that happened to us before, where we forget about
yeah,
dimensional the oversize.
Weight. Yeah.
Because as soon as it gets to be quote unquote oversized,
yeah.
it gets to be really expensive.
It changes the yeah. price. Yeah. So you got to be careful about that. And a lot of people are like, how do you know what size box it goes in? It's like, for me, I'm just estimating. I'm like, well, it's, you know, 20 inches long, so add a few inches to that for padding and box, and then how wide, you know, like, what is a good estimate for something like yep. this, you know?
And so we actually are trying out a new helper tomorrow.
Yeah, she's coming tomorrow.
Yep, we found another, because, you know, our one helper got a full-time job, and she works, you know, 4 hours a week or something.
Yes.
It's great, and we love her.
But we need more help.
Right, and so we, you know, have been asking around and found someone, and she came over, and we kind of talked to her to see if she'd be into it. And she
yeah.
said she'd try it.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? Are you...
Fine.
So how do you... So she's going to come over.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with her? Like, how are you, you know, train her?
Okay, so I'll do what I did with the other person, where I just show her step by step. Number one, okay, look, we're going to start with those hats that you bought, which is
I'm going to be like, this is a Juggalo hat.
She probably knows. She's like 24 or 25. Right. She knows what it is.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, I'll be like, okay, so this is how we make the drafts. Let's start with 10 hats. Let's make 10 drafts. You know, let's call it whatever. Let's put it in the right category.
Here's a phone.
This is the phone. So you come over here, you open the drafts in the phone. Basically, the phone is like a Wi-Fi camera. You know, that's basically all you're using it for.
Right.
You take all the photos, boom, 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 boom. It's saved on eBay. You come back over to the laptop, because this is how I do it. You open up your drafts, type your titles. It's so much easier to type your titles on a computer, in my opinion. Make sure all the shipping is right and everything's right. And, you know, that's just...
Yep. And we don't have them price, because we've yeah. learned that either they don't know how to price...
Right. Or I want to make sure I can do the research.
Yeah. The
if
way,
needed.
Right. Some people I've heard, you know, they'll have helpers and they'll be just like, this whole box is $10.
Right.
Like, put everything in $10. For us, it doesn't work. Because we
for
know...
For us, it doesn't work.
Like no. the Juggalo hats, I was checking out. I mean, some of them sell for $300. I don't know if I have a $300 hat in there, but I might. So I
yeah.
want us to be able to research and put the right keywords and
yeah.
stuff like that.
So, you know, that's what I'll start with. And I'll just be like, this is the process, you know. And I'm going to stay in the office because our veteran helper, I mean, she can just do stuff on her own. Like, I'll answer questions or I'll, right, you know, go say hi to her when she starts. But she's, like, good to go for her, you know, forever. Obviously, because she's been working for us for over a year. But this time I'll make sure I'm, you know, I have plenty of other stuff to list on, you know, on drafts now. So I'll just sit in my office while she's there and,
right,
you know,
and be there to answer questions and just,
yeah, exactly. So just, yeah. And I did that in the beginning when our other helper started, like I would just make sure I have plenty of work to do over there and just be there so she can ask and not just ask me questions, but so I'm looking at her listings and being like, just watch out for this, right, make sure you get this, you know, like I'm, yep, seeing it as she goes.
And so I'm gonna have to check her pockets she doesn't steal a Juggalo hat from me.
she like walks out, yeah, with,
like, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Twisted.
That stuff is crazy.
Okay, let's talk about our numbers. So did it feel like a slow or fast week to
you? It felt like a slow week.
Did it feel slower than a week ago?
Yes.
Well, the answer is
it wasn't. I know.
Insane. I get the numbers too. We had it felt very slow. There was like one day where I think we sold two items or, yeah, something. But when I look at the numbers, I did them.
It did average.
We sold. It's 49 items.
Yeah,
and we made a bit over. It's $1,700. Yeah. So that's actually more than we made a week ago.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
I mean, I like to make $2,000. A week, like that really gives us,
yeah,
pays all our bills, gives us extra cash to yeah, like do other things with. But you know, $1,700 is more than $200 a day, so
yeah, that's good.
Again, that makes me feel all right. Our second store, the Autopilot store, which, yeah, people have been emailing us about, they're like, tell me about your Autopilot store. Yeah, like, they think it's a magic store.
But it's not. Just, it's like, it's got the same stuff that our other store has. It has, like,
yeah,
vintage pots, like, some shoes.
Coffee mugs.
Like, it's not special.
So we sold, it's seven things for $240. You know?
It's amazing. It's fine.
It's not great.
It's not nothing.
Whatever.
It's not nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Things we sold. We'll just talk about a couple of them. We sold a cleaver.
Yes, a big, fancy, antique cleaver. It was from that same table lot that had those fancy Henkel's knives. It sold for $130.
Yep, where all the old men
were. It's a great sale.
Yeah, where all the old men were like, hey, girl, can I have those?
And he's like, nope, get away.
Yep, yeah. So that's nice. We sold a Kohler sink.
Now, you bought this sink at a thrift store.
For $15.
And it was a... It was kind of a smaller, almost like a bar sink or just a smaller bathroom sink, almost like a guest bathroom sink. And it had been installed because you could see where it had like been sealed onto the countertop. But it looked like no one had ever used it. So it was in the original box.
Right.
So it's almost like someone installed it and they're like, I don't like it. And then they pulled it out.
I saw it. It was in a corner. I was like, man, there's a Kohler sink in the box. I'm like,
yeah.
And they, I wanted $15 for it. And,
it's a great price.
I was like, great. And it sold for $175.
Yeah, in like just a couple weeks.
I love it.
I only listed a couple weeks ago.
So. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's a great sale.
Okay, you know, and then everything else is just like, I think a reason why a week can feel slow is just when it's a lot of bread and butter stuff where,
yeah,
you know, things sell and it's like it doesn't even...
Yeah, you're just like,
you're like, oh, that old pair of shoes, yeah, and like,
but it adds, know, up.
Whatever.
And also there was one morning where these are two different mornings this week. One morning I had 13 things to ship and I was like, what? And then another morning this week I had like 3 or 4.
Right.
So it feels like, oh, the week is totally dead, but it's like, you know, some, yeah, days were, you know, higher than others.
Okay, customer issues.
Yes.
Go for it.
So someone had called in a couple episodes ago saying that, I think it was last episode, where a customer was refusing a package as a way of returning it, in quotes.
Right.
And, you know, there was a lot of debate, like, is that even valid in the eyes of eBay? And someone did that to us this week. They said, I bought this by accident. I don't want it. I want to return it. I'm refusing the package. And, you know, it just sat there on tracking saying refused, just sitting there. And so I actually called eBay. So then they did open a case, a return case, like a couple days later. And so I called eBay yesterday and I was like, what's up with this? Like, they're not using an eBay label. They just refused it. And they go, that actually is not covered under buyer protection.
Wow.
And it doesn't count as a return.
Okay. So two things. Number one is we had someone come on the forum say, I don't know if they were a postal person, but they did confirm that if someone refuses a package, the package gets put into like...
The slow mail.
Like, that's why it takes so long to get back because, you know, they're not in a hurry to send it back to you because it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
But number two, you told me if you send something parcel, the person refuses it, we have to pay, like, the
post
office.
That's been my experience.
Is going to give us a bill.
A bill, like, you owe $10 because this person refused this.
So is that item?
No, it was parcel? A first class.
First class.
It was a lightweight, like, pillow.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, right.
So what do you think is going to happen then?
Well, it's eventually going to get to us, but I had them, I think, but I had them close the return because it had been over 5 business days.
Oh,
so I was like, I haven't gotten this. I don't see anything on the tracking. And they said it actually doesn't count towards a return.
Because there's no tracking.
Because there's no, they're just like, you know, and it hasn't moved, you know, it hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
So I guess eBay just does not, they're like, no, we don't count that as like a valid return.
Okay.
So that's the answer I got.
You know what, everyone? Write that down.
Just remember that.
That's great.
If someone refuses it, I guess you can close the case.
That is weird. I mean, that is such a strange thing. Like, I buy something, and then it's on the way, and then it gets to my door, and then what, they just write on it. So they don't
they
open
just
it.
Write on it.
Refuse.
Like, I have refused junk mail before, mm-hmm. where you're just like, this person doesn't live here, and you write refuse,
right.
so that it just gets mailed back to the sender. I guess they just write refuse, they don't
decide
open it.
And then they put it back out
for the person to take it. And so... I don't understand why the post office doesn't charge you for first class or priority for refused mail.
Right.
It's just weird. I don't really understand that whole part of the system.
And then we actually had a couple more returns that got started.
Someone started
for random reasons.
Yeah, like someone started a hat return. This is funny. This guy started a hat return. It's like a snapback, like adjustable hat. And he was like, it's too small. I'm like,
how big is your head?
You can adjust it.
Right.
Like, that's the whole point of this hat.
Right.
He never shipped it back. He didn't say a word after that. He never printed a label or anything. So I've never received it either.
Right.
So I closed that return. You know, it's just, it's sometimes those like immediate returns where they're like, I don't like it. And then they are just like, maybe they do like it. They just never close the return. And
right.
I just close those. After 5 business days, I just call them like,
right.
they didn't ship
so
it.
So if someone wants to return something, we always say go for it. Open up a case and
right.
do it. You know,
right.
and you can print a label. It's all good.
Right.
Once they open up that case, they have five business days to put the tracking in.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I've seen people do it on the 5th day.
It doesn't have to get to us.
No,
they
have
to be tracking.
The tracking has to have, like,
right.
validated in the system or
right.
whatever.
Gotcha.
That's just their system.
So,
you know? Jay, I want to ask you a question.
I love questions.
Tell the people what you put in your little lunchbox. You got new lunchboxes.
That's right. Because, you know, we got these little, they're like little airline trays. So we were making, you know, like, you know, meat and some sweet
like
potatoes.
Like a side dish.
But I was like, you know what? Sometimes I just want a salad and it doesn't really fit in there. So I bought basically...
Like salads.
Salad bowls.
They're like little round... They're just like the other ones, only they're just a round
it's
bowl.
Just like when you go to whatever convenience store and you buy
a salad.
Like So it's this morning.
Yeah.
I cooked a chicken and I shredded all the chicken up.
Yes.
And I put that into a tub. And then we bought a bunch of lettuce.
Yes, romaine lettuce.
At Costco.
We did. We
and then I got my bowls and we cleaned it. And then we put the salad in there, and I put chicken and
cheese.
I put some nuts.
And, I put guacamole in mine.
Pepper. So that way I can just grab it, put in some whatever.
Like and then dressing, shake it up.
Shake it up.
That's great. Yeah. Like when I saw those in the mail, I was like, that's a good idea. I think we had mentioned this somewhere on the forum or something where we were like, how do we get a Costco membership for like cheaper than the membership is?
Right. And people were saying like, if you get a Costco credit card,
like the savings will
give you free or something. Yeah.
It's not a free membership, but like you get percentage back so that it like eventually pays for the membership. Yeah. And I was like trying to get my mom to get me on her membership, but we don't live in the same state. So I couldn't like prove my address. So a friend of mine who lives in our town has an executive membership because she runs like
a business
that needs Costco stuff all the time. So she got the executive membership and she was like, oh, I'll just put you on my card for free.
It's great.
Because she was like, the executive membership, it's $120 a year, which is double the regular membership. She's like, I get like 2-3% back on all purchases. So she's like, if you buy stuff, I'll get, you know, the savings back. So it's worth it to me to help me, you know, pay for stuff for the membership. She's like, so I'll just put you on for free.
It's great.
I was like, Costco.
Yeah, right. It was awesome.
I mean, we've been a Costco member before, but we were like, how do we? It was really funny because I didn't even ask her. She just was like, I went out to dinner with her and she's like, oh, I just got, you know, I just drove here from Costco. And I was like, I got to get a Costco membership again. Yeah. And she's like, I'll just put you on my card. I was like, I didn't even say anything.
And, you know, and so we went to Costco and, you know, it's cool and all, but it really is like, they don't have the deals that I like. I mean, it's kind of like,
they have some,
I think it's good for people who want like to eat at Whole Foods,
right,
but not pay
Whole Food
prices.
Yeah.
But it's more expensive than like a Walmart or our favorite place, Sharp Shopper.
Yeah, Sharp Shopper. Sharp Shopper is the cheapest place ever. So it's really hard to go to Costco and you're like, you know, there was one thing we were like, oh, let's get like a fancy cheese. Let's like treat ourselves. And it was so hard to pick one because they were so expensive.
Yeah,
we were
know,
like,
it's like,
oh my God, it's $8.
I mean, it's a good deal for the quality.
Right.
But we like it.
But
cheaper.
I'm like, I want it to be a dollar.
So I don't know. It's fine. I mean, that's one reason why I did want to pay for a card because I'm like, how often are we going
to
go? You
but
know?
The good thing is we run 2 vacation rentals. So we were able to get like they have a great price on toilet paper, paper towels, you know, laundry detergent. That's like stuff we go through like crazy. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's fine.
But, you know,
I just think we've evolved as like super scavengers.
I mean, it was hard going in there being like, yeah, let's get like fancy treats and stuff. And we're like, oh my God, this is like smoked salmon for $25. I was like, nope, I'm not getting that. Oh, they have good price. They have the best price on coffee.
Yep.
That was one of the best. I like calculated it versus like the coffee we buy at Walmart. And I was like, this is cheaper.
How much per ounce?
So at Walmart, it was 50 cents per ounce for the Starbucks. It's Starbucks medium roast.
Yep.
And essentially, it is Starbucks medium roast, only it's Kirkland brand, but it's roasted by Starbucks. I think it was like 40 cents an ounce and less, like depending on which like brand you got. So I was like, that's the best. That's actually the best price I've ever seen for actually good.
Right.
You know,
and you know, I love that we're in the aisle, like it's with our calculators.
I was calculating.
Out.
I was just like,
you know, it's doing price per ounce trying
because,
to figure out the best.
Yeah. So Costco's great for stuff like that. And like you said, the quality is a lot higher sometimes.
I think it's good too. Like if you're into eating like microwave food, because they have like
they have
all
a lot
those
of that stuff.
Things where you can buy like big boxes of like microwave food for microwave.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap.
But, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that was our Costco adventure. It was very fun.
And just so it's clear. Yeah. So we like this other place where you can buy discount groceries where it's either
expired,
very close to expiration,
close
or
to
it
expired.
Is expired, and you can buy stuff just.
I mean,
25% of
oh, it's
that
a
price.
Fraction. You're just like it's like so cheap, you know. And sometimes there's like things where it's not even close to expired, and the company just like changed the packaging.
Right.
Like I found stuff like that where I'm like, this is brand new.
Yeah.
They just, like, changed what it looks like.
Right.
Anyway, you can call us on our voicemail line at any time of night or day. The phone number is 540-407-8486. And a bunch of people called us this week.
Hey, Jay and Ryan. This is Matt from Indiana. Love the show. I got a couple quick things, a question and a story. First, the question. Wondering how you handle dry clean only items that you sell. Do you get those professionally cleaned? Do you get an at-home kit, or do you just not worry about it? I've got a few things that are dry clean only, and I'm wondering if I should try to get them cleaned before I list them. Just wondering how you approach that. And second, a quick story. I was going through an independent thrift store like you all recommend, and I saw some digital voice recorders on the table. I just kind of passed them by, but then I thought, well, let me check. Looked up the model number on one, and I could not believe the eBay sold listings I saw, so I picked it up and listed it for a week. It just sold yesterday for $1,500. And, yeah, I bought that recorder for $5 that day. So just to remind everybody, go check out those independent thrift stores, and especially on electronics, check the model numbers, and hopefully it'll pay off for you. I think, yeah, it was Ghost Hunters use that kind of recorder, so that's why it's so popular. But yeah, just check those model numbers, and good luck to everybody scavenging, and thanks for the show. Bye.
Okay, first I do want to talk about the voice recorder. I can't believe you didn't tell us what model it was.
Well, if it's the it's Ghost Hunter one, that there's one that guys buy because somehow you can do something to the circuitry.
Oh.
So it makes, you know, I mean, look, there aren't ghosts.
There's no such thing.
You do something to the circuitry where, like, if you walk around.
Oh, it does something.
It makes it seem like there's, like, some kind of paranormal
$1,500,
yeah.
Though. That's, like, quite a... That's a great sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. As far as dry clean things, I mean, here's an example. Okay, I bought two cashmere coats the other day. One was white, and it had some marks on the front. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pre-treat those marks. And what you could do is just use a little OxyClean pre-treater and then kind of rinse that part off. But what I ended up doing was I just threw it in my washer on super hand washable, delicate, all cold. And I washed it and it was fine.
And then don't dry it.
Don't just put it in the dryer. I just hung it up like in my bedroom and let it dry for a couple days. And it looked gorgeous.
I don't think we've ever gotten anything dry cleaned. I mean,
I've never gotten anything dry cleaned.
I mean, the only reason, I can't imagine there being any reason why we would ever do that. I mean, something would have to be worth
a lot of money. Yeah.
$800.
Right. And be filthy. Like the other thing about dry clean only is I'm like, it looks fine.
Yeah.
If my buyer wants to dry clean this, they can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll clean some clothes, like those Insane Clown Posse hats. There were some that you're like, somebody wore this every single day. So I'm going to pre-treat them, and then I'm going to wash them on Gentle, and they're going to be fine. And they look gorgeous. They look brand new. But again, if something's not, you know, totally filthy or whatever, I generally don't clean stuff. I'm like, yeah, the person who gets this is going to throw it in the wash. Like, yeah, they're not going to just wear it off of right out of the package.
Yeah.
I mean, they might, and they can do that, but I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Hi, Jay and Ryan. This is Mark from Florida. Hey, I was just watching your YouTube videos on what sells in your store, and I noticed that Ryan, she shows everything, and she says, now I have to pack this. Well, I'm confused if it's already listed. How do you know the exact weight and the dimensions? Like, how do you exactly do your shipping on eBay? So if you could answer that question, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Love you guys. Love your podcast. Bye.
So, Mark, how are you doing? This is a very good question, and we kind of talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
I mean,
coincidentally,
as long as the item fits in a 12 cubed box, all you have to do is put a weight in there.
Right.
And eBay automatically calculates it based on the buyer's zip code.
Yeah. So, you know, if I sell a pair of shoes, it's just like, I mean, those are going in a poly mailer,
right,
generally. So I have the weight. Okay. They weigh 2 pounds.
Right. Because when we are taking pictures, we also have a scale.
Yeah. We weigh stuff.
And you weigh the stuff and then you put it on the eBay page.
Yeah. You're like, this weighs 2 pounds.
Right. Now, there are times where, yeah, as Ryan says, like, I gotta pack this thing, and it's like a huge a lamp, so how do you do that?
Right, so like I said earlier, I'm estimating, okay, this lamp is 20 inches tall by, you know, 5 by 5, so let's guesstimate, you know, with some padding and et cetera, you know, what the box I'm gonna either make or buy is gonna be. It's gonna be close enough. I mean, there have, I kid you not, there have been times where I'm like, I guesstimated this size, and it is the exact size of the box. Like, it ended up being.
So, that's because you've packed
a lot of stuff.
Thousands of items.
Yes, thousands.
Now, if you're brand new, I mean, some people say, well, I pre-pack everything.
Right, some people do that.
I mean, we don't recommend that now, but I guess if you're just starting out,
you could, yeah.
Pre-packing could make sense, because then you actually get a sense of how it all works, you know?
Excuse me.
And it seems like the newer people are to eBay, the more complicated they want their stuff to be to sell. Yeah. Like, we will have a new people say, I've never sold on eBay. I have this gigantic lamp.
Or piece chandelier, of artwork.
This chandelier, this artwork that's like 4 by 4 by 4, and it's got glass. And we're like, why pick that?
Why? Just sell a t-shirt. Yeah. So. No, so you learn, and you make mistakes, and you make expensive mistakes sometimes, but, you know, that's just how it goes.
Hey, this is Jeff from Southern California. Just wanted to call you guys. I love the podcast. Been listening for a couple of years. I've listened to every episode, I think, since then. Anyway, my question is about something you kind of touched on before a little bit. It's is the effect of YouTube, all the how to sell YouTube videos. Back in the day, they didn't seem to be like they are now. It seems like they're having a huge impact, I would say, in the last year or two on eBay. Now, I'm not talking about you guys, because you guys are, your podcast is awesome. You guys are sell all kinds of different stuff. But in some categories, like especially in clothing and stuff like that, it seems like it's been really affected it. Because used to, I would say, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, most of the YouTube videos were just how I made $200,000 in a year on selling on eBay. And then you watch it, and really they're just trying to sell you their book or their DVD, and they don't give you any information until you give them money. That's what it was on there before. Then all of a sudden, people started, in the last couple of years, started giving up sources, telling brand names and all that stuff. And it has affected it, I think. I know you guys have talked about it before and didn't think it had, but I think at this point it has. Like, my girlfriend is a clothing seller. I'm mainly media, and I do more Amazon than eBay. But her business, she started a couple of years ago. It was great, and it's dropped nearly 50% or more in the last 2 years. And I think it's due to some of the people with the YouTube videos. I really think that they hurt their own business, even, in some cases, by giving out too much information. Just wondering what you guys think of the effect on it. I don't think there's any turning back now, but I'm in Southern California. The median income out here in my area is like, I don't know, $70,000 or something like that. I guess the per person is something like 42,000 or something. It's a lot of money, because I'm thinking how that would affect all my competition from some of the southern states, where the income there is around $23,000 in like Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, those kind of states. So how can I compete with a state that's got a $6 minimum wage, where I live in a state where it's a $12 minimum wage? A kid there would make more money selling on eBay. They can sell something making a $3, $5 profit and do fine, whereas I have to do a lot more because I live in a more expensive area. It's just interesting. I don't know how it all's working out. I think everybody's getting undercut by too many people competing, and especially in areas where they don't need as much money. But there you go. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, so number one, these are good questions.
Yeah.
Every so often, we'll get an email from some grumpy old guy who's like, why are you doing this podcast? You are telling other people how to sell stuff.
Creating competition.
Why would you do this?
Yeah.
You're losing, you know, you are losing customers.
Right.
You're creating competition. And you know what? He's exactly right.
He could be right.
I mean, if we were totally cutthroat, we would just not do this podcast.
Right.
And we would just shut up and we would find everything we can and like find little things that we could just sell again and again. I mean, so why do we do this podcast?
Right. Oh, because we wanted to talk to other people who did what we did. I mean, and not feel alone.
Right. I remember there was a time when you were like, this is really lonely. You know, is
well, this, I started,
is this what we're going to do?
I started an email list with just a handful of people that I knew, you know, in real life who sold on eBay, like my mom and like a couple other friends. Yeah. Well, Mikey and Wendy.
Yep.
And
because it, what it was eBay can be a lonely existence.
Yeah. You're just listing.
You're going to an auction.
Yeah.
You list. I mean, there's no conversation.
Right. And I wanted to be able to be like, I had this buyer who did this thing. Is this weird? You know.
You know what? There's more to life than money.
That's true. Money does help, but yeah. Okay, so he's talking about those haul videos or like the this is what I'm selling videos and yeah, maybe. But I mean,
but it's true. You know, like I know I've talked to guys who like they were doing well and they would just sell old video games, or they would sell phones.
And now
they're like, I can't do it because
so much
everyone's doing it, you know? I mean, and that's the thing. It's just like, you know, wholesale. It's like, you can't get stuck on one item. Like, if your business is selling one kind of item and you're dependent on that one kind of item, that's a bad business to be in.
It's just, for us, we are always like, the market is big enough for unique vintage items.
Right.
And everyone's going to find different things because I'm not selling commodity items.
And that being said, I definitely am very quiet about what we do in our local area.
In our area,
I don't go around and say I'm a scavenger and kind of tell people because then, I don't need to make competition
in my area, local area. In my sourcing area.
But, you know, if I'm talking to someone's in a Michigan right now, or this guy's in Southern California. I'm like, if you can find some hats and sell them, go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, the other question that you asked was, how can you, in a higher income area, like Southern California, compete against someone like us? Who live
in a
median income in our poor rural county. Yeah, it's like $28,000 or something.
If that, I mean,
you know, it's you can buy a house for under $100,000 where we live. I mean, it's not going to be a great house, but you know, the lights are going to turn on. So, how do you do that? I mean, that's a good question.
It's a great question.
The hope is that in your higher income area,
you're finding higher dollar items,
right?
Yeah,
you have access to stuff that's going to sell for a lot more. But really, you know, those of us who are out in cheaper places, you know, we do have that advantage of having
cheaper cost of living. Southern California is probably one of the highest cost of living in the country.
But I'm assuming that if someone is in a higher income era, they are there because of a higher quality
of life.
Of life, you know.
And if you aren't, because we
quote unquote higher quality,
we moved to the rural Southern America from San Francisco because of that reason. We were like, it's too expensive here, and I don't want to have to pay for this life.
Right.
I love San Francisco. I love the San Francisco Bay Area. I would love to live out there. I think it's beautiful and amazing, and the people are amazing.
Too expensive.
It's just I didn't want to do it. You have that choice.
Yeah, we could not build a big building behind our house.
For the price,
to store eBay stuff, you know.
Hey, Jay and Ryan. Just calling about some of the past episodes. I've been hearing you guys building a new concrete slab, and that's pretty cool. I'm a soils engineer. So it was cool hearing you guys talk about my career on the podcast. I was just thinking, so my residential job sites, some of these food trucks come by, and they come loaded with all these hot dogs and sodas. They show up in front of the houses or construction sites, and they blow the whistle, and dozens of guys just drop the tools and run out there. So if Jay ever wants to get involved in that, that'd be awesome. Let us know. Bye.
I love that. I'm telling you. Food truck / eBay business. Like
that's basically
a great... Like, what other combinations are great like that, you know?
Yeah, they're both very flexible jobs. You could be listing on eBay during slow times in the food truck.
You could
just pop out your laptop and list your drafts.
But like, I bet that the food truck business would be like a morning, like a wake up early, go out to construction sites, sell like egg and cheese sandwiches,
right,
and like taquitos, you know.
Oh man.
Yep. But barbecue, pork rolls, buns.
There's so many.
And then, you know, by about probably 1 o'clock, you're driving home and then doing eBay the rest
I think it's there must be somebody out there that does a food truck and sells on eBay. We've never heard.
Yep.
We've never
you
heard
could be,
of those people.
I'm trying to think other things. You could work in a library and do eBay.
That's true.
I don't know. Other things like
there are many combinations.
Hey, Ryan, Jay. Calling to let you know, I do love the podcast. Run my business out of Hanover, PA, up near Gettysburg. My full-time job, actually, I have a full-time job, is off of the Capitol Beltway up in, near Washington. So if you're ever in the area, have to typically hook up again. My name's Alan Wilkes. Finding Treasure Shop is the store on eBay. Just wanted to say there was a comment about Bonanza, which I also use Bonanza and don't look at it a whole lot, but one of the neat features is, I don't know if you've seen this, if you go on to Bonanza, you can actually see, and I don't know why eBay doesn't have this, but they actually will show you what was disapproved by Google, and you can go in and fix it on eBay. It'll show you what's missing or why Google will not use it with variations or, you know, if it's missing the some value. Just want to let you know, quick message. Again, love the podcast. Keep up the good work.
Cool. Well, that's actually, I mean, it's like you. We're kind of like just put stuff on.
Yeah, I mean, Bonanza just syncs with our store. But what's interesting is you're saying that
they have a tool.
Yeah, you can see why Google Shopping might be rejecting your item, so you can fix it. So I'm assuming if you fix it on eBay, it'll sync back to Bonanza, but will it show up on Google Shopping through eBay also?
So if you hear this, if you could email us, and if there's like a link.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Does this tool have a name, or like where would we find that?
I know I've seen an email one time where Bonanza was like, a couple of your listings didn't show up in Google Shopping, and I just ignored it.
And is it free? Like is it part of the free, or do you have
That's a good
to
question.
To be a member.
Yeah, you know? Have like a subscription. Good question.
Hi, guys. This is Keith from Boston. I just want to say keep up the good work. Great podcast. I have a little bit of experiment that I ran the past month or so. So there's always that secret of metrics and how your listings are bumped up and the views you're getting on items. So I ran a small little test. I was in the market for two expensive golf clubs. They're a little over $250 each. So I ran a test because I saw something on one of the eBay forums. I can't believe I actually was looking at the eBay forums, but I was trying to kill some time looking at the eBay forums, and someone was saying that if you buy some expensive items on the same account that you sell, your listings will be bumped up and you'll get more views and in turn get better sales. So the last week in December, I bought my golf club. I think it was like $275. I bought it on a Sunday night, and the following 5 days, I had really high sales. My sales were up 50%. That was the last week in December. The first week in January, I didn't buy the other club I wanted. It was a driver that I wanted. I didn't buy anything on eBay, and my sales were flat. I think they were up like 5% from the past 30 days. And then the second week in January, I bought the other club that I needed. I bought the driver that I needed. And my sales were, once again, they were almost at above 60%. So I don't know what this means. I don't know. I just had this small little experiment that I wanted to try. And it looked like when I wanted the weeks that I bought two expensive golf clubs totaling over $500, I had really good sales in my eBay store. I don't know if this helps. I don't know if this is any, if it's a coincidence or not, but I just want to throw it out there. I have a mid-level store. I think I have like 1,300 or 1,400 items in my eBay store. All right. Thanks. Bye.
I have never heard that before. And I'm like, oh no, I have like a separate buying account that's totally separate from my seller account. So I don't know. That's a crazy theory. I've never heard that before.
So if you buy stuff, it helps in selling?
Yeah, he's saying like he bought two expensive items and he split them up between two different weeks to do an experiment. And it sounds like, you know, the first... Although I will say this, the last week of December was a super high week for us too. It just... December was really good. So I don't know.
I mean, I think like any experiment, you know, it would have to be done more than just a couple times.
Yeah, you should try it again.
You know, do it once a month and see if that 1 week
is just gangbusters. That's where we're going to have to try it then.
Explain to people, why do we have a buying account from a selling account?
Because I want to send people offers and not want them to think that I'm going to resell it on my store. I mean, most of the stuff I'm buying on my buying account is not for my store.
Right.
It's just for like our rentals or our house. Like I'm just shopping.
Right.
I guess I feel like I would get better deals if people don't think I'm reselling, because I'm not.
Right.
Or
if they see like, you know, we're trying to, you know, give people a lowball offer on an item and they check out our store and they're like,
you're
trying to sell a jacket for $50 too. Why are you offering me $10? You know.
Well, I wouldn't do that lowball an offer.
Why are you being like that, Ryan?
Yeah, I would.
And saying things like, "Why are you selling this for so much? It's junk."
I would never say that to another seller ever. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, there are some times where I will buy stuff on other stores and then resell it. So that is partly why I have a buying account. Right. It's rare, but I do it. So that's the main reason why.
Yeah.
Hi, Jay and Ryan. Love the podcast. Quick question. I was at an estate sale and I bought this box and it's got a clock in it and it's made in China. So I'm putting it on eBay. I look for a similar item that was sold and I see somebody who's got the exact same one, but they're saying it's made in Germany. And on the bottom of my box, it says made in China in big letters. On theirs, it sort of looks like it's rubbed out. Should I report that to eBay? It looks, you know, I feel it's like they're selling something that really isn't made in Germany. So it's a Chinese box. But I don't know if that really matters, or am I going to get, like, tracked, or I don't know. Just a question. Thanks. Bye.
I mean, I don't even know what reason you would say, because their box doesn't say made in China and there's no way for you to be like, I have one that's made in China and their box is exactly the same. But it's like, how is eBay gonna, you know, eBay, you know, what if yours is just a repro and theirs is actually from Germany? There's no way for anybody to like prove that. And eBay is just gonna be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like they're not gonna pull it down.
Yeah.
So, you know,
is he buying it to sell it?
Yeah, he's going to sell his, but his says made in China. And the other person has the exact same one that says it's made in Germany. Hmm. But he thinks they just, like, scratched out the made in China. But, you know, it's like, that's that seller's problem. Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying where you're like, I, you know, might not be able to sell it as much as they're selling it for, you know, and they're cheating, it seems.
I mean, I know sometimes you can go down that rabbit hole of like, everyone should go by the same rules and like, I want, you know, everything to be even, but...
I just think it's not worth your time. And if it's a nice box, even though it is made in China, or a nice looking clock... just, you know, put a good price on it anyway. But yeah, I hear you. You're like, or maybe that person, you know, bought it and it didn't say made in China and that was that sticker was already taken off or it was rubbed off when they got it and they're taking a guess and they might be wrong.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean they're trying to be fraudulent or whatever, but maybe message them. I don't know. Okay, that is it for the podcast this week. You can check out the blog at scavengerlife.com for the links we discuss and to join the conversation on the forum. You can call and leave a question or a comment on our voicemail line. The phone number is 540-407-8486. We post an episode every Monday morning. On Wednesday, we post a What Sells video to show what sold and how much it sold for, currently being brought to you by Stephen Schultz. You can subscribe to us through iTunes or YouTube, so you always get the latest episode. We're ending this podcast in 3, 2, 1.
Bye, bye, bye.